Hello, and welcome to The Sparkle Hour, a fun and feisty podcast for empowered women and woke menfolk.
Join us as we pull back the veil to reveal how we are taking control of our life stories and creating a movement of positive change.
I'm Michelle Lewis.
And I'm Nicole Lewis-Kieber.
And if you're ready to feel, laugh, and heal, this podcast is for you.
Oh my goodness. It's working. It's working. These are good signs.
Yay. I'm so excited.
Me too. Nicole, it's really great to see you.
It's good to see you too, as always.
Always a pleasure. And we even have some bonus fun today because we have a special guest.
We do. We have Rebecca Tafe with us.
Tafe, Rebecca Tafe. Hi, how are you?
Hello. Hello. I'm so happy to be here. This is such great energy.
Yay. I'm excited.
So excited. And Nicole has some cool things to share about you. So get ready to listen to you being told about you.
Yeah. Everybody always loves this part. They're like, oh, my bio is weird, or they like it, or they're like, wow. So let me tell you all a little bit about Rebecca Tafe. She's the owner and chief creative officer of Red Start Creative. Rebecca is a branding and digital marketing company, building and supporting brands for women, owned small businesses and nonprofits in the educational, environmental, and family support space. Red Start Creative was established in 2009 with the mission to create clear communications for those who are driving positive change in the world. Yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah. People who make good things happen. Red Start works with clients empowering positive change in the world, those striving for social impact and equality. Woo, 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 woo. So excited about this. So there's so much more because you've been around and you've done such amazing things, but we're going to stop right there because I would love to hear more from you about who you are as opposed to reading, you know, a bio, you know, how it goes.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. So it is funny hearing your bio read, isn't it? You're like, wait, did I write that? Is that what I do? But I will tell you what I really loved about that is I knew I wanted to work with nonprofits and those people doing great things in the world, which a lot of small businesses that echoes with as well, just really organizations with heart. But what we really articulated in the last 2 years is we added in that phrase, organizations working for social impact and equity, because I feel that that's so important. And I feel that was always a part of our work. But what I've learned over the years is if you don't say it, you can't assume people understand your motivation.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And we love that. I mean, it's so in aligned with the work that we're doing here on the Sparkle Hour is that equity piece and this and how it comes about in ways that we don't always anticipate, that it's not always a direct line. And the people who are doing that work aren't always who you think they are. And so that's why we love to have people like you here to talk to. And Michelle and I actually met you first because we rode together on the plane from Baltimore to New Orleans for the Being Boss vacation a couple of years ago. I still owe you a drink. and we just loved that event. I mean, our you know, Being Boss sisters over there, we just love them. And we loved getting to know you. And we were so excited to get to have some time to talk to you further today.
Yay.
So, Rebecca, this is Michelle. Hey, how's it going? you have received several awards and honors in your field, whether it was through your writing and your marketing, whether it was through Red Start or through other organizations that you've worked with. And that is really cool. So what that tells me about you is that you're a very hard worker, that you like to have things done the best possible way, and that I believe that kind of bleeds into the work that you're doing. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. You have this work, Red Start Creative, and it's with branding and marketing, and it's specifically working with women and women-owned businesses. So tell us why it's important to you that you work with women and why it's important to you that you bring that excellence.
Oh, thank you. I know that's such a that's a big question there. And I think, you know, I'm so lucky. I'm located just outside of Baltimore City, so I'm in the Baltimore regional area. And when I started my business, there were a lot of really great groups that connected you to women in business and networking. You know, I had people mentor me in different ways. And so that was really very valuable to me, you know, and what resonated with me was the instinct to help others and to help people. And so, you know, as I got further along in my career, you know, a couple years in, people would be like, oh, Rebecca has her own business. You should talk to her. Rebecca should talk to her. And one of the really wonderful ways that they are recognizing women in business in Baltimore is they do the top 100 women in Maryland. And what I love about that award is it's not just you're doing a great job. It's not just that you volunteer, but it's also that you mentor. And so for me, mentoring really, really fills me up. So whether it's in an unofficial capacity, whether it's officially with a mentee, or even if it's just, you know, doing a quick free consult call with nonprofits, I really like that. I really like to share information. I'm very transparent. I don't think anything should be overcomplicated with marketing. I don't think anything should be secretive. And so I really enjoy that. I really enjoy bringing that to my work, saying this is not rocket science. You know, we can break this down in a very simple way. And so I really love doing that. And what was really interesting was when I started my business, you know, you kind of have these instincts, you know, like you like to help people or you like to network or different things like that. And what was really fun and empowering was I was like, oh, I get to write the rules. You know, I get to write the rules as I'm doing my business. You know, when I, you know, get up and go to work every day, who is it that I want to work with? And really early on, I had identified nonprofits was kind of a no-brainer because they do great work. But the other thing that really fell is small business owners. And small business owners are usually full of so much passion. They are working so hard that it's really fulfilling. And I find a ton of similarities between nonprofit organizations and small businesses.
And so a lot of those small businesses and nonprofits that you work with are led by women. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, I do. So I think that's kind of like, I am a woman. So for me, I love to talk to other women in business. And I think, you know, it's different running a business as a woman. Not good or bad. It's just sometimes we're wired differently, just like, you know, women A, B, and C are all different. But there's just some certain things I found in the beginning. It was like let's be direct. Let's cut out the bullshit, essentially. Like, let's get straight to the chase and go, here's what you need. Like, all right, what are your goals? What's your time frame and what's your budget? These things have got to kind of manipulate and work together. You know, you can't have all of them for a really low price or just so I found that just being direct, just being authentic with people really early on, just felt really good to me. And I actually think that's one of the reasons, like Nicole said, we met at the Being Boss Vacation. When I heard that podcast, I was like, yes, I was like, these people get me, you know, because you have people saying like business should be done in a suit and tie and you should network and you should do this and you should do things this way. And I'm like, I lead with my heart, you know, I lead with my heart. I want to help people. And for me, it was really rewarding to go, I don't have to follow the status quo. I can go over here and I can do it the way that feels authentic and good for me. And I'm still helping people and I'm still supporting people. And lo and behold, there's a whole bunch of other people that do it this way too.
So satisfying, and to be able to feel like you're part of the community rather than, you know, the sticking out like a sore thumb in this different sort of kind of marketing paradigm. And it's true that marketing and promotion for women and by women is a different kind of energy and a different kind of animal than it is in a very more male dominated sort of way. So to be able to come alongside these women who are doing these startups, who are doing these, you know, social justice projects, who are working in nonprofit, who are stepping out and saying, yes, damn it, I've got something awesome to share here. How do I do it? So then they find you and they find Red Start Creative. And what would it look like, you know, for someone who is maybe afraid to share their message? They know they've got something that's important. They know they've got something amazing to put out in the world, but they don't want to look like they're bragging. They don't want to sound like they're shouting. How do you come alongside them and help them through that process?
That's a really great point, because a lot of times, again, we're talking about people that lead with heart. They are usually very humble in what they do. They're doing it out of service and out of love. And so, you know, it's hard to have that conversation. And what I've seen over the last 10 years that I've had my business is I've seen a really cool evolution that I love So when I first started my business in 2009, you know, Facebook was out there. It wasn't as big as it was, but you started to have this other medium where you had a more casual tone and a more authentic tone. And you got to really see, this was before like Instagram picture perfect lives. You know, you really got to see into people's lives. And I love to see how this personal channel of Facebook has really influenced how people want to perceive people. And people want authentic organizations, you know, and I've seen how that's changed is how organizations tell their stories. And one of the biggest things we love to do is help an organization tell their story and share their heart and find their voice. And that can be a little quirky. You know, it can be very authentic. It does not have to be stodgy. It does not have to follow this picture perfect formula. And I've seen that evolution and I really love it because I think it's impacted marketing in such a positive way. It allows people to say, well, here's why we as an organization, yes, we also help people with disabilities, but here's what's different about us and here's what we love. And we have an organization that we work with. Their site just launched the other day and they work with individuals with disabilities, but they've added a farm component to it. So they've brought in this work and this nutrition and just really, really exciting. And that differentiates them. And when you meet them, you can just feel their heart and all of that. And we really, I think, were able to help them bring that to life and say, you know, this is us. This is who we are. And we've seen that. Like there was a report Sprout Social did last summer about social. Some of the most responded to social posts are behind the scenes of people. Like, yeah, you can create a blog about a DIY five tips to do XYZ, but we get more likes and comments and shares on like silly behind the scenes team pictures. Like we had one on a service day, me with an axe. Like I look ridiculous and people love that. So, you know, I love that that's just, again, that heart and that authenticity is just really coming through with organizations.
Awesome. So I want to kind of shift the conversation just a little bit here. And really, you've kind of touched on it a little bit in talking about being able to share your story and being able to give people platform and voice to make their story and their authentic lives come into the work that they're doing. So we know that maybe you've had some challenges recently and some significant life stuff that's come along. And how have you been able to manage that? And please share what you feel comfortable with in that regard.
Sure, sure. And I would love for people listening to know that, you know, we met, gosh, probably a year and a half ago, and I've been following along and seeing the podcast. And some of the things you were posting last fall really struck me. And it was just talking about how, you know, being authentic about sometimes the tough times in our lives can be really good. And I thought, you know, I've found in my life that sharing sometimes through difficult times and hard times, gives me a sense of purpose that maybe I went through something very difficult so I can shed some light in for somebody else. And I'm trying to think of, I mean, it's hard to summarize, but long story short, I started dealing with infertility when my husband and I were trying to have my son or trying to have kids back in, it was like 2008, 2009, you know, and we just couldn't figure out what was going on. And, you know, so then we did all the testing and all of this stuff. Well, lo and behold, it turned out I had endometriosis, stage 4, which was it's actually pretty advanced and painful. And what that basically means is you have uterine tissue growing where it should not be. And it hurts. It is not comfortable. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay. And then I just kind of kept going along, you know, going along my merry way. We were very, very lucky that we were successful with we went through a bunch of failed stuff, but we were successful with our first round of IVF and had our son in 2012. And so I found, when I share a little bit more of my story, you'll see why I feel like the years before that with fertility were even a little bit easier. But, you know, I really found that just sharing my story and being open about it, because a lot of people feel ashamed about that. They struggle with it or they don't know how to share with people. And I'm like, hey, you know, you can do all the things right. You can do all these other things. And sometimes you're going to have these challenges. And so for me, sharing how I struggled with infertility and how we eventually had our son, for whatever reason, that felt very healing to me. You know, like I was part of this group I didn't want to be a part of, but if I could support other women going through this, and I've, you know, formed some really strong friendships with people and just feel a really strong connection with people that have gone through that, that I've been able to be a cheerleader for them.
That's so important. And one of the things that, you know, we stand for here is that we help people transform their trauma or their challenging experiences through storytelling and also through humor, because we believe, you know, dark humor can be really helpful. You know, I think Ali Shapiro says that, you know, it's post-chemo humor, you know, because she's had a cancer history. It's so important because it really lets someone know that you know what it's like when you can laugh about something or have a little bit of a twist around that. And for us, we love to highlight people who are in support of healing trauma in any kind of way, including someone who is so supportive of nonprofits and women in business. And when women have options, they have power. When they have power, they have influence. And so sharing your story, it influences and it gives those women who own these businesses an opportunity to know you deeper and to feel more supported and connected. And so it seems like, I'm just sharing my story, but it's not. It is so much bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I find, you know, you find really unexpected connections with people and, you know, people will make comments about different things and I'll just usually kind of plant a little seed. I'll be like, oh, you know, I had a tough time, you know, I'm happy to talk to whomever or, you know, just send them some resources because I think there's such, it can help people not feel alone. And that can be such a troubling time and just really tough. And it was, you know, so we got through it. We had my son and, you know, you kind of feel like you're over the mountain. And then we decided we were going to go back. We were going to try to have more kids. And we did a bunch of frozen cycles and I forgot one thing. I actually ended up getting pregnant on my own. And sadly had a miscarriage, just a normal miscarriage. So I was like, oh, okay. That's like now in retrospect, I'm like, oh, just a normal one. We tried to do more fertility. We had 3 frozen embryos, 2 transfers didn't work. And then the third one didn't even make the defrost process, which is like a 10% or less chance. And so that was, I remember that moment. That was like a gut punch. It was like, you're literally telling me my very last one is 10%. And it didn't make it. And I remember just how tough that was and just working through doing what I had to do to kind of work through that time frame and going, I'm so happy I have a wonderful, healthy son, but this was also really hard too. And there's like a duality in that grief and that trauma. And everybody deals with it really differently. And what I like to say is you can be so thrilled for somebody else because you realize how hard it is to have children. You can be so thrilled for them, but you can still be sad for yourself. And you've got to figure out what's the way that you can do that. And so I did a lot of work, you know, did therapy, just kind of had to work through that and let it go. And I was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is a big weight lifted. This feels really good. And then I got pregnant again on my own. And sadly, this one ended up in an ectopic pregnancy, which can be life-threatening. I did all the right treatments. I had wonderful care providers. And apparently I was walking around with a ruptured ectopic pregnancy and I didn't realize it. And so, you know, went through that. And that's, you know, that's pretty traumatic when you go in one day, you wake up one day and then you're all of a sudden, you're in surgery. And I will say though, I have the most wonderful GYN now who was there that day and just happened to be on call and she's amazing. So for me, that was really hard because it was like, but I let it go. Like what was this kind of about? And sometimes sometimes you get like, oh, this was the reason for this, but other times you don't, you know, you just have to figure it out. But again, when I'm able to share with other people that have had losses and say, I gotcha. You know, like I get it. I'm there. What do you need? For whatever reason I don't want to say it gives purpose to the pain, but it makes me feel like there's a role or there's growth or there's something out of that, if that makes sense.
It does. And those are really significant traumatic events that you and your body went through and that you and your husband went through together. Yeah. you know? So we definitely want to honor that, and we don't want to just breeze by it. Like that's a yeah. big deal. And you're allowed to feel the pain and the sadness and the grief from those things, you know? I love that you said that you're allowed to be able to hold both of those things at the same time. Yeah. The yeah. joy for something else that's good and positive yeah. and uplifting in your life or others, but also the sadness of loss and, yeah. you know, the feeling of betrayal from your own body. Like these yeah. are big deals, you know, these aren't things that you have to just sweep under the rug and pretend, oh, no big deal. I'm just going to keep on trucking.
Right. You know? Right. Well, and that's kind of how I think a lot of times we're wired. Like when we're really driven women, we're kind of wired to do that. And so, you know, I certainly took stuff and just set it in a little box for a while and then just let little pieces out by little piece by little piece, you know, and kind of dealing with it in that way. The wonderful thing about us as humans and as women is we're so multi-layered and we're so complicated in so many beautiful ways that you literally, I think you can have grief and joy going on at the exact same time, and that's okay. But I don't think a lot of people talk about that. They expect you to be like in this deep pit of despair or like completely ignoring it. And for me, it was really somewhere in the middle.
We believe that's where the healing happens, when you can hold those two opposing ideas at the same time. That's,
I love that.
That's where the healing happens.
I never even thought of it that way.
Yeah. That's where the integration of healing happens, because we're refusing to compartmentalize or to be, you know, either in. We're like, yes, and, or you can have both. And it takes a little bit of permission and support to be in that place. Right. And so as women, and particularly women who own businesses, working with other women who own businesses, even though this is a business podcast, we still feel like this is a really important conversation to have, because we get it. And we could teach other women who are striving to build a business or a nonprofit to say, we understand what it means to say it sucks and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, and I think the other thing about sharing stories like this in a podcast, because here I am, I'm talking about something very personal. I'm talking about something in my business, but I think that's great. We're real people. And I don't just shut off whatever's going on in my personal life or my work life or vice versa. It's this really nice flow between things. And I think that just makes you a more realistic human being. And also too, I feel pretty good that I was able to, you know, sustain and grow a business through some really traumatic things that were happening. I think that's because as women, we can multitask. We know when to lean on other people. You know, I had an amazing team through all of this, and I was very transparent with them. They knew what was going on, and they were right there, you know, with the support that I needed.
Fantastic. And Nicole, I love that you mentioned that permission is granted and that permission is needed. First and foremost from ourselves when we're going through the shit, but to also expect and demand that from our support team, that they need to be, if they're going to be people who support you, they're going to give you permission to do the both and the and, to feel shitty and to feel amazing, and all the little nuances in between that. Really important. I think it's fascinating that you, as a branding and marketing specialist, are able to really bring to life and bring this kind of reality and this authenticity in women's lives and the women that you work with and the organizations that you are helping to share their message, being able to be transparent and whatnot. I know this will air later in the year, but we just came off of Super Bowl Sunday and it was a snooze fest. The only reason I really ever watch Super Bowl is for the commercials. And I'm sorry, they sucked. They sucked so much butt this year. There was like maybe two that I can even remember. Advertising and marketing is all about presenting a message that is memorable and that means something and that connects the audience to the product or service. So you being able to take a person's message and present it in a way that connects with an audience, how do you do that? Like, how do you get somebody to take something that's so personal and so heart-centered and so tender and something that can be so, I don't know, vulnerable, and present that in a way that is memorable and meaningful and connects the audience? Can you navigate that for us just a bit?
Sure. Well, and you know what I think is really funny is I didn't even really watch the Super Bowl. I watched a little bit at the end, but I was actually working on my goal planner. I'm obsessed with Cultivate What Matters, the Power Sheets. I'm a little behind. I was just finishing on my goals. So last night I had rough drafts of my goals and I actually got to do all of those. And that was so fulfilling. I was like, this is way better than the Super Bowl. And I think probably one of the reasons that, you know, you didn't really love the ads is because we've shifted so much in media and we've shifted so much in technology that those are mass media to really big crowds, really big numbers. And I think as busy women, we know what we want, we know what we like. And honestly, we're really not that interested in a big general generic commercial. I think it's shifted. And I think people and able to tell their stories, you know, you see this, I was thinking this, what you see this in like the TV world now, you know, you've got Hulu has originals, Netflix has originals, Amazon has originals. Like it's no longer three networks and then cable networks, it's beyond. And so everybody's really able to go, I totally get, I love this show that's sci-fi history and romance in one, or I love this show that's like dark comedy and British time travel and whatever. Like, you know, you can really find, you can really niche down. And I think that's part of helping people to tell their stories. Like, yes, you might be doing work in the education space, but what is it about that education space that is different for you? So I have an organization that I just love. We do some work for them, but they focus on children birth through five. That's what they focus on. And they focus on early childhood education and the training for the teachers that are educating those children. And they're very, very specific. And they can articulate that very quickly. They have a very dynamic executive director and they can do that. And then, you know, you've got other organizations that might be on the flip side focusing on, you know, high school students and trying to get them to college. But I like to say it's who you are, why you matter, why you do what you do, and what makes you unique. Like what makes you tick. And I think bringing that through, whether it's the story of a founder or the story of an executive director, as to why they're with an organization, you need to pull that out. It cannot be as simple as, you know, we think education is important. You know, you really have got to drill down and get specific. And you know, we're really lucky. We have a lot of wonderful organizations here in Baltimore working with anything from, you know, adult literacy and workforce readiness to charter schools to environmental education. And they're all very different. And they're going to relate to donors. If they're personal, a donor's going to pick up and connect on that. And the organization I mentioned before, Maryland Family Network, that helps children birth through five, I was asked to join their marketing committee, and lo and behold, I had a baby. And so all of my time with this organization, I'm in that, and I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing when I'm volunteering in the classroom and all of those different pieces. And so because they can so clearly articulate that, that works well. Or it might relate to somebody because they're a grandparent. But again, it's that specificity and that heart that really matters. And to get to that, you really need to do a couple of things. You need to have conversations inside your organization. You need to have conversations outside your organization, which a lot of times people forget that. They're like, oh, well, this is what we do. Well, what do people outside your organization think you do? And then what does the competitive landscape look like? And that's kind of your story, or if you want it more traditional marketing terms, your brand message. And it's really, you need those three pieces for kind of that 360.
I love those questions too, because whether you're an organization or not, knowing who you are, what your story is, and what you stand for matters, even if you're working in a company or for, you know, another organization, because it gives you purpose within your position. Because we all need purpose where we are, you know, and we can find that when we ask those questions, I think sometimes where we work. And if we are not feeling that, then we can look for it in a place to be. So I love that it actually translates into that place as well as, you know, someone who has a job in a position that they're looking to maybe move. It's not always even about a business or organization. It's about who you are. It's like your own brand, your own story, you know, so I kind of love that.
And we did that for an organization. We actually worked with their HR department to help them tell their story to attract people to come work for them, because people had a preconception of who they were when in reality, they had a very different internal culture as an organization. And so we worked with them to figure out how for them to tell their story and articulate it to job seekers. Your story not only attracts, you know, clients, donors, whatever, but it also attracts potential employees too.
So we love the idea of self-care here at the Sparkle Hour, but not in the superficial way. Go take a bubble bath or whatever that is. We want, like, you know, it's like deep, resonant self-knowing and self-care, like that, you know, that piece of who you are that you need to care for and nurture. So as you've built your business and as you've gone through these pretty significant life events while you've been doing this and supporting other people in their businesses, what are about two or three things that you do that are at that deeper level of self-care? Not going to get a mani-pedi, anybody good. Like, what does Rebecca do? What is resonant with you and your deep self-care?
Oh my gosh, I love it. And I feel like I literally could talk about this for 20 minutes. So I'll try to do the overview. But what I found is early on, you know, a number of years ago, I learned the power of saying no to things. And I think that was probably my first, like, adult realization of a step towards self-care, because I'm a doer and, you know, I was raised by great parents that are always volunteering and, you know, even in their retirement, they're volunteering, they're running here, they're doing this. I think that was probably one of my first big steps. But then, you know, as I've gone through these health issues, as I've, you know, connected with this other great group of women in the kind of coaching business community, I think I've learned a ton. And one of the biggest things I do for self-care for me is how I eat. I am so passionate about health and nutrition based upon what I have gone through. And so for me, a really big priority for me every week is making sure I am getting, you know, nutritious food, sticking to what works for me. And then cooking. I really love to cook for my family. I am not a Food Network person. I do not watch those shows. It does not need to be a million ingredients. My Pinterest board is literally like crockpot clean eating meals is mostly what it is. It's like as simple as it can be, but that is such a core. When I look at all the other things that come in and out of self-care, really that eating, that anti-inflammatory diet is so key for me. Getting that great health and nutrition is important. And when I was just working on my goal planner last night, I was looking at reflecting on last year when things were going well, I was securing my foundation kind of each day. And it's really that I like to, when I have time, I would love to have like a great long morning routine, but I really don't. So sometimes there's a really, my faith is so, so important to me. And there's a beautiful, beautiful app or devotional. It's called Jesus Calling. And it's literally these soft, beautifully spoken phrases like, don't worry today, rest, have ease, like just all based upon like biblical things, but in such beautiful tones. And they will hit me on days where I am spiraling and I am anxious and I am stressed. And it's like, chill out. It will be okay. You know, so doing that, having that as a foundation. And the one thing that I always struggle with self-care is kind of movement and exercise, which I love. I just don't prioritize it enough. So this year I actually made quarterly goals. So I was like, let's try to exercise twice a week in Q1, just twice a week. Because I have a tendency, as probably many type A people, to swing from one extreme to the next. So like, have that all or nothing approach. And this year, I'm really trying to find that middle ground. But those elements that kind of give me a strong foundation in the morning are, I like a little bit of quiet. I like to go downstairs and make smoothies for my family. I just like, sometimes I'll listen to music. I'll do that little bit of prayer time. And if I can connect with nature, that's a huge bonus. Again, that's always really hard. But those are the things that really kind of light me up and really make me a better person to everybody around me if I can get some time for that.
Rebecca, those are awesome. And those are things that anybody can just kind of pick up right now and start implementing into their day. So thank you for sharing those. Those are really, really cool. And I know that we are running out of time and I wish that we had like 10 more hours to chat with you over this. sort of awesome stuff that you're doing and hearing more and more about your story. So I know that our listeners are also going to want to connect with you. What are some of the best ways that people can connect with you? Do you have any things coming up that you want to share about, anything like that?
So yes, I would love to connect with people. I think it's just so fun to share information. And I know people poo-poo social media a lot, but I've found it's been really great for a lot of really wonderful connections with people. So for Red Start and kind of the branding and marketing work that we're doing, our website is redstartcreative.com. And we have a bunch of free resources on there. We've got DIY blogs. Every Tuesday, we do a Facebook Live Tip Tuesday. We have an events, community events calendar. So if you're in the Baltimore area, you can go ahead and post your events there. And kind of all of our social channels, we're Red Start Creative all over the place. And then I talk a lot about nutrition and self-care and kind of that flow and balance of trying to keep it all together over on my personal Instagram, which is Rebecca Tafe. So I really talk a lot about all of those different things. My word for the year this year is flow. I don't believe in balance. I really think just different areas of our life sometimes need more and sometimes need less. And I'm really trying to tune into that this year. So I really am talking a lot about that flow kind of over on that personal page. But I try to post some fun things. And actually next, well, this won't be out, but we're starting to do day in the life on our Instagram stories for Red Start Creative. So those will be coming up in the next little bit.
That's wonderful. Fun. We'll make sure that we have links available in the show notes on our website at www.thesparklehour.com, where you can tune in for all the show notes, shareable quotes and graphics from this episode, and ways that you'll be able to connect with Rebecca and Red Start Creative. And thank you so much for joining us here today. It's been really wonderful. Thank you for sharing those really tender parts of your story with us. And thank you for being open to just sharing kind of this slice of your healing journey with our listeners today. Thanks, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I like I said, something really struck me in the fall. And I was like, you know, I just was really resonating with the work that you guys were doing. And I got so much out of today's podcast, a lot of the things you guys were sharing. So thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Rebecca. Come join us on our Facebook page, The Sparkle Hour. Join our group, When in Doubt, Sparkle That Shit Out, where we share a lot of juicy information. Join us on our website and check out Sparkle School, where you can learn some sparkle skills on setting those boundaries and saying no, like those adult no's, right, Rebecca? So it was so great to hang out with you. Thank you so much. And Michelle, always love spending time with you too.
Always a pleasure. I love you. We hope that you all listening have an amazing day today. Please reach out if you have any questions or comments. We are here for you. That's all from the Sparkle Hour.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sparkle Hour. Today's episode was brought to you by Nicole Lewis Kieber Coaching
and the Blessings Butterfly. To learn more about the topics discussed today, please visit our website at www.thesparklehour.com. And remember, when in doubt,
sparkle that shit out.
Yes, please.